Welcome to episode 445 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. It is true that Jesus said, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." However, Jesus also had a biological mother and biological siblings. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was described by God as highly favored. The phrase highly favored comes from a single Greek word, which essentially means much grace. Mary received God's grace. Mary remained a virgin until the Savior's birth. But later, Joseph and Mary had several children together. Jesus had four half-brothers: James, Joseph or Joses, Simon, and Judas or Jude. Jesus also had half-sisters, although they are not named or numbered. God blessed and graced Mary by giving her several children, which in that culture was accepted as the clearest indication of God's blessing on a woman. One time, when Jesus was speaking, a woman in the crowd proclaimed, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." There was never a better opportunity for Jesus to declare that Mary was indeed worthy of praise and adoration. What was Jesus' response? On the contrary, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." To Jesus, obedience to God's word was more important than being the woman who gave birth to the Savior. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus or anyone else direct any praise, glory, or adoration toward Mary. Elizabeth, Mary's relative, praised Mary in Luke 1 verses 42 to 44, but her praise is based on the blessing of giving birth to the Messiah. It was not based on any inherent glory in Mary. In fact, after this, Mary spoke a song of praise to the Lord, extolling his mindfulness to those of humble state and his mercy and faithfulness. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Joseph, but given the glimpses into his character that we do have, we can conclude that he was a humble man who cared deeply about obeying God. The Bible also indicates that Joseph was a kind, self-sacrificing man. Though he had the legal right to divorce Mary when he found out that she was pregnant, he intended to do so quietly because he did not want to bring any public shame or disgrace on the woman he loved or her family. Luke points out Joseph's commitment to keeping the law in Luke 2 verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. On one such trip, when Jesus was a young boy, Jesus stayed behind at the temple in Jerusalem while his parents began making their way home. When Mary and Joseph realized Jesus wasn't with their caravan to Galilee, they searched anxiously for 3 days before finding him sitting among some teachers of the law. Though the Bible record is silent concerning the later life of Joseph, most scholars assume that he died sometime during the 18 years between the family's visit to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 and the beginning of Christ's formal ministry. If Joseph had been alive, it seems likely he would have been mentioned as being at the marriage celebration in Cana, and almost certainly Jesus would not have given John the charge to care for his mother. John tells us that Jesus' siblings did not fully accept him as the Messiah while he was laboring among them, but evidently they were converted shortly thereafter, for Luke records that immediately after Christ's ascension into heaven, the church met in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Paul includes James in his list of those who had seen the resurrected Lord. Jesus' brothers became prominent leaders in the early Christian movement. We know most about James. Already an important figure when Paul visited Jerusalem 3 years after his conversion, he seems to have risen to a position of unique preeminence in the Jerusalem church. Later writers called him Bishop of Jerusalem. But his role was by no means confined to Jerusalem. It seems James occupied a position of unrivaled importance in the whole early Christian movement. A minor indication of this is the fact that although the name James was common, this James could be identified simply as James, with no need for further explanation. He also has the distinction of being the only Christian mentioned by name in a first century source not written by a Christian. The Jewish historian Josephus records his martyrdom in 62 AD. While James assumed preeminent leadership at the center of the Christian movement, the other brothers of Jesus worked as traveling missionaries. One of the books of the New Testament is credited to Jude, another brother of Jesus. There is also some evidence that Jesus' aunt and uncle, Mary and Clopas, may have also been missionaries, working as a husband and wife team. The second so-called bishop of Jerusalem, after James, was Simeon, or Simon, both the Hebrew and the Greek versions of his name are found, who is the son of Mary and Clopas. And it seems that two grandsons of Jude were also important Christian leaders in the late first century. Aside from the reference to Mary meeting with the church shortly after the ascension of her son, we have no record of her after the events of the crucifixion. Ancient traditions, which are not always reliable, tell us that Mary associated with the church in Jerusalem for many years, and finally accompanied John to Ephesus, where she eventually died. But Mary's contribution to the church and to the work of her son may be more lasting than most people realize. Luke admits that he wrote his gospel from material he gathered from eyewitnesses of Jesus' life. Many Bible scholars believe that this happened while Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years before being sent to Rome for trial before the emperor. Caesarea was only about 50 miles northwest of Jerusalem. If Mary was still in Jerusalem, what better source of information concerning the life of the master could there be than his mother? Some unique characteristics of Luke's gospel support the possibility that Mary was one of Luke's sources. First, only in Luke is there a detailed record of the story of the birth of Christ. Matthew records the visits of the angel Gabriel and of the later visit of the wise men. But only in Luke do we read of the manger and the shepherds, the crowded inn and the swaddling clothes. Only in Luke do we find an account of Gabriel's words to the young Mary, of Mary's visit to Elizabeth, of the nativity, of the circumcision of Jesus, and the inspired declarations of Anna and Simeon in the temple, and of the teaching of the young Jesus in the temple at the age of 12. Jesus was like us. He had a mother. He had siblings. And his relationships with them were not always perfect. His relationships with siblings shows that he truly does understand every aspect of our lives. He knows what it's like to grow up with people who don't necessarily agree with you. Even though ancient Israel didn't have as much of an individualistic mindset that we see today, sibling rivalry and competition still existed. Jesus remained sinless in his dealings with his siblings, and that certainly says something. James and Jude don't believe in Jesus until after he ascends back into heaven, or perhaps shortly before that. In the same way, maybe, we have family members who push back against our Christian faith. We can look to Jesus' example for comfort, knowing that even his family didn't always support him. Finally, some of Jesus' family members later converted to the Christian faith. This can give us hope for those of us who have family members who have not yet dedicated their lives to Christ. Father, thank you for the lessons that we learn from reflecting on Jesus' earthly family relationships. Help us to remember that what is most important is hearing the word of God and observing it. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.